We're joined by our guy, Dan McLaughlin, here on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers and Anthony Stalzer. Danny Mac, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing good. We're excited about more Cardinals baseball after the win yesterday. Let's start off with some of the moves that they made. Harrison Bader activated off the IL. I guess my question would be this, Dan. So Justin Williams, we know he's not in the lineup tonight. He would be the one that immediately loses some playing time with Harrison Bader coming back. What does Harrison Bader and, let's say, Tyler O'Neill have to do to keep their playing time now that Harrison Bader is back?
I would say that they got a hit. I mean, someone's got to emerge out in that outfield. Now, if no one hits, then you look at what they're doing defensively. I still think even if Harrison Bader didn't hit at a high level, with the pitcher being used in the National League, there are ways to improve your defense in terms of what they have with him out in the outfield, because he is a very good defender. And so I would look at him playing a lot of center field. You know, Justin Williams has been on a bad run right now, and, you know, maybe it's time to sit him, or with the minor league season getting going, you know, you do have options now. Maybe he'd be a guy that if everybody's healthy and you get some people back, that he would go and kind of have a reset. That could happen. But the way I look at it is that it's good to get him back. And I should say this, your outfield defense has been much better here recently because it's gotten younger and it's gotten more, they cover more ground, so you're getting more chances. So that's been the good thing. But at times, we've seen some miscues out there, and I would anticipate that with him coming back in center, Carlson at a corner spot, you got Glover and O'Neill in left, your outfield defense should be about as good as anybody's.
Danny Mac, how we doing, bud?
Well, first of all, that's usually my line.
I know.
why don't you come up with your own stuff, Jamie?
Oh, sorry, should I go, hey, Dan.
Hey, Jamie.
There we go. Yesterday,
I'm doing great, by the way. How are you?
Good, thank you. And I'm glad it's a beautiful sunny day. We get to see Cardinals baseball and get to hear your lovely voice, Dan.
You know,
it's always a
by pleasure. The way, before you go with saying that, think about this, guys. I think today or tomorrow, if certain plans would have been made by there were some powerful people in baseball, because you say it's a sunny day and things are nice out there, you made me think of this. Tomorrow would have been opening day. They were going to push back the season a month. I mean, thank goodness
wow.
They didn't, because we're getting through this thing, and there's better times on the horizon. So I'm really glad that they didn't do it.
Yeah,
amen.
Me too. And I'm so happy that when I watch the games now, that there's real fans. It's fun.
Oh,
the excitement's awesome.
God.
And yesterday, one of those moments, and this is the player I'd like to talk to you about, was Dylan Carlson coming up defensively, making a catch, and then gunning the guy out at third. I mean, it's spectacular play by the young man who's playing center field, and I don't think we've talked, Dan, since they've slid him into the number two spot. He looks pretty darn good in that spot. What have you seen so far that makes you think that DC can stay there?
I think he will stay there, Jamie, and he's batting like 360 right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, since he moved into the number two spot, and it's something we've talked about a lot, and you can say, well, do you really want, you know, switch hitters back-to-back? I can understand that argument, but in this day and age of analytics, there's a lot of things you can do a deep dive into, and a lot of people believe it shouldn't really matter. That's just, you know, with a three-batter minimum and different things that you have. So having said all that, he's going to get pitches to hit. So I don't care if you're talking analytically or if you're going back to old-school baseball, you just start thinking of it logically. If you're in the middle of that lineup and you got Edmund, Carlson, Goldie Arenado, and you start saying, well, I guess I'll pitch to Edmund. Then you say, well, you know, the second guy I guess I'd want to pitch to on that list would be, at this point, Dylan Carlson. So what does that mean? He's going to get pitches to hit. And right now, the adjustment he's going to have to make, and it's kind of back to when he first got called up as, well, he's technically still a rookie, but got called up last year in the short season. They were pitching him backwards, and what that means is you're going to see a lot of breaking balls, you're going to see change-ups before you see a fastball. And if he was getting a fastball in the minor leagues, he was crushing it, and if he was getting it in the major leagues, for the most part, he's done some pretty good damage against it. So the league here recently, especially in the series against the Phillies, started pitching him backwards again. So he'll make that adjustment. He's really bright and figures it out very quickly. So the other thing I'm seeing is that you have a guy that's 22 years old, and he's been in five different positions in the lineup. And that's asking him to do a lot. And you're going to get pitched differently in those different spots. And he's made the adjustment. Guys, he's only 22. He's going to get better and better and better. And when you talk about the play that he made yesterday, to me, when I review that game, that's the play of the game. I mean, Carpenter's home run was, don't get me wrong, that was huge. And it's, if there's one and one A, it's right there. But you get them off the board in extra innings with a chance to win it at home with a runner at second base. That was a 93-mile-an-hour throw from the young man.
Wow.
93. So he's got a really good arm, and everything he did to get in a position to make the throw, you move back a few steps, you come in on the ball, you have momentum going to the infield, and I don't think it gets talked about enough, and now I'm saying something else here, are the little things that Nolan Arenado is doing. And if you watch on that play, watch for his body positioned to come out and get the ball, and a lot of third basemen stay back at the bag. You wait for the ball to get to the bag, you apply the tag. He kind of positioned himself. He moved a little bit to his left and met the baseball, knowing the timing would be bang-bang, and didn't let the ball either hit the runner and carry him, go somewhere, but then was able to not only get it, but then apply the tag. He does so many little things, guys, that people don't maybe notice that makes him the elite defender that he is.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to watch all of it happen in that one play, which you said ends up being arguably the best play of the game or the biggest play of the game. Another guy I want to circle back to, and it's kind of in theme here, Danny, is you have called so many games with Yadier Molina behind home plate. And we've got a young man right now, Andrew Kisner, who, in my opinion, I like what I'm seeing so far. I think, you know, I guess my own evaluation was I was expecting a little more of a circus behind home plate. I knew he could hit the ball, but in my opinion, he's done a pretty good job of, one, working with the pitchers. They seem to be very comfortable with them. And when things do get a little sideways at times, I find that he's doing a pretty good job of blocking the ball and staying in front of it and limiting some of the errors or some of the miscues defensively. What's been your take so far? Because obviously Yadi's been behind that plate forever.
Yeah, he's done a really good job so far. And if Andrew's right, and so far a lot of his hits are going to center and to right field, that's when he's locked in. That's good for Andrew Kisner. It's good for a lot of guys, but it's especially good for him. So when you watch, Jamie, going forward, and you're astute, I mean, you pick up on a lot of different things, and when you see him starting to ground the ball in the left side in particular, when you're seeing a lot of, like, the choppers, the 10 hoppers to short, you know, the high choppers to short or third, he's just a tick off, and that means a lot of times he's just ahead or he's pulling off just a little bit. And I've talked to him about this in the past. That's one thing. So far at the plate, he's been great. And defensively, here's when I noticed he made the turn, and I don't know if it was something that he did during the shutdown, and maybe it was happening prior to that in spring training of last year, and I just didn't see it. But we had a I was doing some of those games on Cardinals.com. It's so hard to think, like, this is where we were last year, hoping that we would play inter-squad games and put them on the internet, but that's where we were. And I go down there and I'm calling the games, and it was O'Neill that was running against him, and it was either Edmund or Bader. So you're talking about, you know, really fast guys. And it was in either one inning or back-to-back innings. He threw them both out. And I was just like, man, I know he's got a good arm. I know he's capable of doing the job. But he just looked different to me defensively, and I haven't changed my thought on that since then. Watched him a lot in spring training. He was solid there. I've talked to people privately about what is he like, you know, just not being an everyday player, and they're like, man, he comes in, he is prepared, he's in the meetings, he knows what's going on, he's bouncing ideas off of guys. And the other thing, too, that I saw with the Martinez start, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, it's just different. So Carlos is on the mound, and he was shaking him off a bunch. And that's okay. I have no problem with pitchers shaking off a catcher when he puts down the signs. And I think sometimes, and it's out of respect to Yadi, and he knows the league so well, there's a reluctancy at times to shake him off. But as I always say, it's the pitcher that has to throw the pitch with conviction. And when you look up at the end of the day, it's either the L or the W behind him. And so it's got to be on his shoulders to have conviction with that pitch. And I thought Martinez was great with him, and I think he's been really good with these guys. So I'm excited with what I see, and he should be excited, too, getting a chance to play. This is his run, and he's hit, I think he's had 24, 25 starts now in his career, and he's hit safely in like 18 or 19 of them. So not a full season, don't get me wrong, but at least he's keeping himself sharp and ready to go.
Hey, Dan, before we let you go, I would imagine that you're in lockstep with Mike Schilt, who the other night said that the issue there with the situation with Genesis Cabrera is a byproduct of the rule where you got to keep the reliever in for three batters. Do you think that Major League Baseball is going to have to address this sooner rather than later?
I don't know if they'll do it this year. I doubt it. I think when you have an upcoming CBA and so many different things are presented then at the table and they say, hey, do we like the runner at second extra innings? Yes. Okay, we all agree with that. Should we have a universal DH? Yeah. Okay, what do we think about this three-batter minimum? I think it's useless. And there's so many different things from a managerial perspective that come to mind with this. And he brought up one that was really, it's a good problem to have, but when you're talking about trying to keep your bullpen sharp, so just take away from this the actual three-batter minimum in a game. The other day, Tyler Webb and Andrew Miller hadn't thrown for 10 days, and they're left-handed. You know how hard that is to do, to have two lefties in your bullpen that haven't thrown for 10 days? Now, it's a byproduct that you're getting great starting pitching, so that's a good problem to have. But a lot of times, you bring guys in to face a batter or two just to get them action, just to keep them sharp. Because there's only so much you can do. Like Andrew Miller was talking yesterday before the game, and he's like, yeah, I've been on the mound twice in the last 10 days in the bullpen, kind of doing, you know, simulated as if somebody's at the mound, not just warming up and throwing. That's not the same. It's just not the same. And I had never envisioned and had thought through what we saw the other night, which was somebody that clearly did not have control, and the best move for all parties involved would have been right after Bryce Harper was hit, get him out of the game.
Right,
he is shook. He doesn't have control. He's hurt somebody. You got to get him out of the game, and then he's got to throw to another guy. And then when you think about the competition aspect of this, if you're going to be effective in Major League Baseball, you've got to be able to pitch inside. You can't be hitting guys in the face, but you got to be able to pitch inside. And I never had thought, like, boy, what happens here? And then you're in a tie game. Now, let's just say if the game was you're up by a bunch of runs, then if you're Mike Schilt, as much as you don't want to do it and probably shouldn't or can't walk a guy, now all of a sudden you got the bases loaded.
Right.
So I just hadn't really thought about that, and it just reared its ugly head. And they wanted this to speed up the rules. Speed up the game with this rule. Well, game times have increased in the last 3 years. Doing some research here, it's from 3 hours to like 3:05, and last year was 3:07. It hasn't made a dent in it. So why do we have it? Get rid of it.
Amen. Well done. Well said, Dan.
Yeah.
We love you. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Looking forward to the series against the Pirates, and take care of our guy BT. All right.
Well, I'm a little surprised that I can make an appearance on his show, but he doesn't make an appearance on his show?
Yeah, that's how BT is, Dan, but we love him anyways.
Yeah. He's a flawed man, but a good man. You know that.
Yeah, there's definitely some words there. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
You too. Thank you, Dan. Dan McLaughlin here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Good stuff.